The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing in those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you like, then, worship me, it shall all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels charge of you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and a report concerning him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he went to the synagogue, as was his custom, on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. And there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here also in your own country.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there came a great famine over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and put him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down headlong. But passing through the midst of them, he went away. And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ah, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports of him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they asked him about her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and served them. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a lonely place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus Christ was tempted. Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Spirit, as we read, as he was full of the Holy Spirit, even from his conception, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Yes, even despite this fullness, Jesus Christ was tempted. In fact, Jesus' whole public life is bookended by temptations. At the beginning, he is driven out into the desert, where he suffers the temptations of the devil for 40 days. At the end, on the night before he was to die, he is tempted again in the Garden of Gethsemane. That Jesus Christ was tempted, and tempted often, even throughout his whole earthly life, especially its public parts, is important for our own temptations, for how we think about them, and especially for how we are saved from them, and even more, the sins to which they lead. The letter to the Hebrews speaks of Christ in this way. It says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sinning." In every respect, he has been tempted. What humility on the part of God to descend into our nature, yes, but then to subject himself to the whole gamut of human temptation. Luke indicates the same thing we just read. "And when the devil had completed every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time," namely, when he would come back in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus Christ was tempted much, tempted in all ways. The devil gave him everything he had, and yet he never sinned, not even once, not even close to once. And this marks a very important distinction for us, because to be tempted, to be filled with chaotic, disordered, disturbing, grotesque thoughts, even now, even in Eucharistic adoration, even in Mass, these are not the same thing as committing a sin. A temptation is a stray thought, a desire that inclines one toward a sin, that lures one into considering and reconsidering and reconsidering sinful acts. And if we entertain them, all of a sudden those sinful acts no longer seem so sinful at all, but desirable, worthy of our will, of our love. In a nutshell, Temptations short-circuit. They short-circuit our thinking, stirring up a flurry of passion in the hope that we'll just set our minds aside and go forward. They're not good, but they're not sins, because sins are actions, something determined, definitive in the mind, a judgment that we make against God, against another person, toward a certain course of action, or, of course, things we do outside, externally. That Jesus was tempted, but that he never sinned. He is the Holy of Holies among us, the Holy of Holies among us. Teaches us that no matter how holy someone becomes, no matter how much you are filled with God's love, no matter how long you live the Christian life, you will not escape temptation. Those most basic effects of original sin, the personal history of each person has of actual individual sin, these things leave a kind of spiritual trauma, it is true. And they may become tamer over time, not necessarily, but they may. But this is okay, because Christ himself proves to us that his love, that the power of his grace, especially available in confession, especially available through the Eucharist, is victorious over temptation, because Christ is always victorious over temptation. Notice also in this gospel how Jesus overcomes the temptations. He does not just fight them with his will, as if he were just to suppress them by brute force. It's not sustainable. We can't just play whack-a-mole our whole lives with our own desires. Rather, in each case, with the bread, with the kingdoms, with the temptation of God by jumping from the parapet of the temple, in each case, he diagnoses the error. He lays bare the devil's lies. He interrupts the effort at short-circuiting our thinking, his thinking. And so the desirability of the temptation vanishes into thin air before the perfect clarity of Christ's gaze. Even if we are not as perfectly integrated interiorly as Christ, even if we do not see what is good and then immediately desire it, there is division. We can still follow his lead. That is, we need to see the lies that are implicit in temptations, the lies we tell ourselves, that we need this or that thing, that this will actually make me happy, that I can get through on my own in life without trusting in God's love, or that God does not need me, God does not want me. We must dispel these lies when they come to us, not dwelling on them extensively, especially in the moment, the heat of passion. Sometimes we need to flee promptly, but even still, to be ultimately confident that the desires temptations propose are not ultimately, definitively true in the light of God's love. Jesus and the perfection of his love is infinitely desirable, infinitely true, infinitely worthy of us, far more than any temptation to any finite good. And this is why spending time with him, as we do this evening, and giving him temptations, our temptations, is so, so salutary, so healthy. We turn our weakness over to him, whose power is made perfect in weakness, whose power is made perfect in us through our own struggle with our own crosses. Yes, in the weakness and the meekness of consecrated bread, Jesus Christ continues to heal, to restore, to save. Jesus, in the desert and in the garden, you dispelled the lies of the devil. Dispel the lies from our hearts, that we may see you and your love in the fullness of truth, and that you may lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from every evil.